Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is candidate for the 110th District as a state representative, Republican Greg Markkinen. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Greg, I'm going to start with some, you know, pretty easy questions. People know you if they're involved in education here in the area, but let's find out a little bit about you, where you live, and what do you do?
Well, I live in Hancock, Michigan, across the bridge here. I've lived there for 23 years. I'm a teacher, high school teacher at Berga Area Schools. I teach civics, U.S. history, world history. I've also taught special education as well.
Now, prior to your current seat on the Hancock City Council, had you served in public office before?
No, I have not. I've volunteered. I have some volunteer experience with my local church. I've served 2 years with AmeriCorps, the Copper Country AmeriCorps program. I've served on the board of the Honka Homestead out in Berga County, and a lot of community volunteer work.
What was it that drew you to politics then?
Well, I've taught civics, government, political science for quite a few years, and I felt that there was a need to maybe turn the corner and try to contribute to the community in another way, and that would be to serve. I ran for the city council last November, and I was defeated by, I think, 6 votes, but it didn't deter me at all. I came back, and they had an unexpected opening in the city council this spring, and I applied and was appointed to the city council, I think, in March. So it's a real opportunity to serve the community, serve Hancock, and, you know, to be in touch with what's happening.
Now, having sort of been in the public eye here in, you know, serving on the council, has that given you any insight into what you might be facing further if you were to win the seat in Lansing?
It has given me a lot of insight, and I realize it's a steep learning curve, but communities all across Michigan, including the UP, are really suffering economically. We just got done completing a budget in Hancock, and it's a very difficult thing to pull the strings tight, and, you know, you have all these groups, you know, doing presentations, asking for contributions, and it's hard not to be able to contribute to all of them. But things are tight. I mean, you know, offering the services that we do as a city council, we find a way to do that with the revenue coming in and the tax, you know, the taxes and such. But it's been a learning curve, and I realize at the state level, it'll be a larger program, a steeper learning curve. But I feel I'm up to the challenge.
We have in the state here a Republican-controlled House and State Senate. We've seen budgets that have cut funding to smaller, the revenue sharing for smaller communities. You're running as a Republican, so how would you do things different than your party has done in recent years?
Well, I realize that the state is in the black now. It's got a surplus, and I think that conversation eventually needs to be had in Lansing, that the communities need to start sharing a little bit more in that revenue sharing pot that's in Lansing. It's been drawn tight. It's been going down and down and down for years, and communities, I think, are at the point now where the state has to look at it and say, how far can we actually go? The communities such as Hancock and Houghton does a little bit better because it has a larger population because of Michigan Tech, but like Hancock and other communities, revenue sharing has been cut drastically, and that goes back to what I was saying about offering services. You have to get very, very creative in trying to come up with, you know, more grant programs, go after funding sources in more creative ways.
What other issues have you seen that are important?
Well, I believe the natural resources, the 110th district has an incredible amount of natural resources, not only mining, but timber. Economically, I think we're at the point now where we have all these incubators, Michigan Tech, Finlandia, GoGibbick is creating all the GoGibbick Community College is creating all these programs really trying to meet the needs of the economic base that we have here in the 110th District, and not only here, but around the UP and Michigan as well. I think one of my points is that we export too many students. Students get an education here at Tech or Finlandia, Badenoch or Gorgibbik, and then they have to leave the area. And that just isn't, you know, that's not good for our economy. It's not good for the whole area.
Well, what can government do as far as to create more options to keep those students here?
Well, I think the conversation has to be had and on and again to watch where we cut in school funding, to look at vocational training in another light, give students the opportunity to benefit from vocational training if they do not want to go on to college or university. School funding is, I think, really in the conversation. There again is another conversation. I think needs a little bit more local control in the area of where this money is going and where it's being spent. I think school boards across the UP know their students, they know their district, and they know their needs probably in some ways better than Lansing does. So I would advocate that, you know, school boards across the UP, across the 110th district, should have more control.
Now, most Republicans have an opposition to the Common Core curriculum. You as an educator would give you some direct insight into that situation. What would be your opinion?
Well, Common Core, there's a lot of curriculums on the market, and Common Core, there seems to be a lot of resistance, and I'm not sure. I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of teachers, and I'm not sure exactly which curriculum is the best for our students. Common Core really focuses on math and science, and yet we still have some other areas that we need to cover according to the state curriculum. I think that's an ongoing discussion that I think a lot of states have just shot Common Core down. I know a couple states have outlawed it, have banned it, and I don't know if that's the solution for Michigan. I think that's an ongoing discussion that we're going to have.
Well, we are putting a lot of emphasis on the STEM fields and encouraging, mm-hmm. especially students here in a local area, because we've got Michigan Tech in our backyard, to pursue careers in education in engineering, mathematics, science. Some of what gets left out there, though, is the arts, and I've heard people that are promoted the acronym of STEAM, of trying to put arts back in the schools. Again, I'm asking you, since you've, you know, have your career there in education, what role arts plays in education and whether or not the state should be backing it.
I believe the state should be backing it. The arts plays a critical role in school and education, K through 12. You look at the local programs here, Houghton Middle School, Houghton High School, Hancock, Calumet, and Jeffers, and Barriga, Launce. They all have great music programs, great art programs. They could use more funding, of course, but I think taking those out of the curriculum is just a recipe for disaster. I think the state needs to come up with some creative ways to fund maybe the arts programs across the UP and lower Michigan. I'm just not against getting rid of art programs and music.
Our environment here, especially the Lake Superior, the surrounding Great Lakes, are precious. There's no other word for it. And critical to our economy as well as the lifestyle up here. What threats do you see to the environment and to specifically Lake Superior?
Well, I agree with you. The environment up here is very precious. We're looking at one of the largest freshwater lakes in the world right outside. And I think we need to stay in communication with our neighbor to the north, to Canada. We need to have a good dialogue with the states around Lake Superior, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and the other Great Lakes to protect them. I see threats from not using our natural resources properly. We have some mining interests that are looking in the 110th District and across the UP. And so far, things have been going very well economically there. And I think with close monitoring, close state support, they can continue to go very well. I think that the natural resources need to be utilized, but we need to do it in a very wise and safe manner.
Well, if you win this seat, the western portion of Marquette County would also be included in your district. So undoubtedly, you would have to, I guess, I hate to use the phrase, but pick a side when it comes to the mining operations that are taking place. Do you find yourself more understanding of the environmental groups opposed to the mining that's going on, or in support of the benefits that mining could bring to the area as far as the economy and jobs?
You know, I think it's very easy to see both sides, and I think we can reach, I want to believe that we can reach a happy medium. I think Eagle Mine is a good example. I know there was a lot of opposition to that originally, and rightly so, because it was in a very economically sensitive area. But those jobs are much needed in Marquette County. They're needed in Ontonagon County and Gogebic County, wherever we have natural resources that have been identified. I like to think that we can reach that happy medium with proper monitoring, proper safeguards in place with the mining companies, and with the state and the mining companies working together with local assets as well, local governments.
Other than mining, the other industry that often gets kind of lumped up here as far as trying to achieve a balance between what's good for our environment, what's good for our future, logging gets brought up. And whether or not the state can do anything about making our logging industry one of the better ones in the country, where it's actually sort of middle of the road right now.
Well, I see it. We talk, a lot of the counties talk, a lot of people talk about the transfer of land. I don't think we need more land tied up with the federal government. I don't think the state needs to be tied up with more land. I think that the state should be turning some of this land in the 110th District in the Western UP over to local governments, get it back on the tax roll, make it accessible to logging, wisely. There's plenty of techniques available to, manage forests now. We see too much land being locked up, and the timber industry needs to survive. There's a lot of people that rely on that industry for their income and support their families. So once again, there's a happy medium there, and I think we need to reach it really quick.
The Upper Peninsula is home to a very large percentage of veterans who live and reside up here, and so we often have veterans issues that come up. We've seen some deplorable situations at some of the facilities that are meant to care for our veterans, and then also a lack of utilization of available benefits for people. We often rank dead last in the amount of benefits that are actually taken advantage of, different services that we have that aren't even used. How would you go about both bridging that gap and then addressing some of the subpar services that we're giving to our veterans?
Well, I think the turnaround with Veterans Affairs is I'm hoping that we'll start at a national level with the next with the upcoming presidential election. I think the VA not only needs to be revamped from the bottom up, but from the top down. There's veterans, veterans, once they raise their right hand and take an oath, the state and the national government also takes responsibility to provide for those veterans. And we need to do a much, much better job here in the UP. We have a veterans hospital in Iron Mountain. I think that is underutilized. Veterans should not be going to Minneapolis and Milwaukee for treatment. They should be getting treatment, at Iron Mountain. They should be taken care of, much better transportation. I know a lot of that is handled by volunteer organizations, local veterans groups. This is something that really needs to be looked at closely, revamped, restructured, whatever it takes, because we're just not meeting our obligations to veterans. And as a veteran myself, as a veteran of myself of the United States Army, I feel very, very strongly about that.
Do you have any ideas on what could be done to improve it?
Well, I think it takes leadership, and I think leadership at the national level, leadership at the state level, to clean house, if that's what needs to be. Some of the leadership in the Veterans Administration are getting huge bonuses, from what I understand in the media. Media has reported for doing nothing. The waiting list is way too long for veterans to get in and for appointments. This is just unacceptable, and it needs to change at the state level, the State Veterans Administration. I would hope to, it would be a goal of mine to perhaps serve in the Veterans Committee so I can make a direct change and work for that change.
One of the big issues in the legislature right now is the dark store situation. That still may be going on after November. I don't see any reason why it still wouldn't be a fight. It's been a fight for a number of years already. Where do you fall on that? It's easy to say that you don't want to see any tax money taken out of local governments, but is there any reason what makes the fight compelling?
Well, the fight is compelling because local communities are losing money, and some of these companies, corporations, are using comparables from all around the state, and that's just not fair for the local communities. A lot of these communities, including our own here, are very reliant on these property taxes, and these companies are being able to avoid paying taxes. They're getting deed restrictions to avoid future development, and I think this is just not a good thing for communities across the state, let alone the UP.
Is there any advantage to the community to allow these companies to be able to have this, this tax reassessment? They make the argument, and the tax tribunal agrees with them that, their store just being in the community is a value of itself, and if it was closes down, then the community loses that value. That's the argument that's made. Mm-hmm. But do you see it? Does that hold water at all?
Well, it holds water, I think, as far as if that company is providing employment. But being reassessed because they're empty building, or they want to shrug their responsibilities for taxes, I think doesn't hold water. I know it, on an individual case-by-case basis, I know other situations might come up where a reassessment might be called for, but I think it really needs to be on a case-by-case basis. And these corporations using these comparables, I think doesn't need to be, they shouldn't be allowed to pick comparables around the state. And I think it should be, these comparables should be picked locally.
Houghton County has got a real problem, and that's with our jail. Mm-hmm. And twice, it's been put to the voters to try to approve funding to build a new jail. Both times it's failed. We can't move the jail, can't be put anywhere else. It's got to stay in the city of Houghton. And is there anything that Lansing can do? Because at some point, somebody's going to have to step in, because the situations at the jail are getting to the point that, it's already far below standards. Something's going to need to be done. Could the state do anything?
Well, I think the state could probably step in and maybe guide the county, guide the citizens through another series of educating the public, and just where we're standing. I think the media has done a good job so far. I remember back in the original effort to move the jail across the street, and I feel that the public just wasn't aware of where the jail is at right now, as far as it's being outdated, not meeting codes and things. So I think it's just going to take an ongoing effort, maybe assisted by the state, to educate the people of Houghton County that this needs to be done. We need to find a solution fast. And if this process needs to be taken by the state or guided by the state, so be it.
We've got about 5 minutes here to go, and so I thought we'd come back to the education realm, at least in the realm of the schools, something that our state senator has proposed in response to the State Board of Education proposing guidelines dealing with transgender students in school and their ability to choose a bathroom that, that fits them. Also, other provisions as well that we're familiar with, locker rooms, school activities, sports, anything that that is sort of gender related. And Casperson's bill was to provide an avenue where some things can be worked out between the school and the student, but not to give a sort of the carte blanche choice to the student without involving the parents. I'd like to hear your thoughts on the whole situation.
Well, I like I like Senator Casperson's approach, and I support it. I think in every district throughout the UP and throughout Michigan, I think this issue needs to be addressed. It needs to be brought up and discussed, and on a case-by-case basis, I think is the best approach, rather than just to dive in and open up things too much. These needs need to be met. These requirements need to be met as well. And so I think the Senator Casperson's bill is a good starting point, point to get going with this and start meeting these standards.
Do you feel that the parents is the kind of the crux of it all? Do the parents should have be able to say whether or not their child can make this choice?
Well, you talk to any, I think if you talk to any educator, parents play the most critical role in a student's education. And I think the parents need to be involved in this conversation as well with their local school. And that's critical that the parents are play the major role in this, in communicating with the school and making sure that the school district meets their needs.
You've chosen to run against an incumbent, your Democrat opponent, Scott Dianda, who's won this seat twice. So during these last two terms, what is it that you've seen that you said, I would do that different?
Well, I've said many times that I feel that the people of the 110th District need another choice, and I guess I would refer back to the article in the paper this past Saturday and Sunday when my opponent brought up the fact that people need to engage in government. Good article, but I think it fell short in one area, and while my opponent stresses that people should get involved in government, people should engage with government, he should have brought up the point that people should also compete in government, run for government office, get involved in their local communities, not only for state representative, but county commissioners, township boards. There's a whole array of public offices that across this 110th district that we need more community, more people participating in the democratic process. It's critical. It keeps the democratic process healthy, and it keeps our democracy strong. And I feel I'm running because I feel that I can do a better job listening to the people circulating around the 110th district and listening to every aspect, listening to citizens' needs, across from Ironwood all the way to Baraga County and from Crystal Falls to Copper Harbor, including the two townships in Marquette County. I think the people want somebody to listen to them and be a voice for them in Lansing.
What will the next couple of months be like for you?
Very hectic. I plan on getting around to the six counties, making as much contact door-to-door as possible. Geographically, obviously, it's a huge area. I need to get over to Ishpeming Township and Powell Township in Marquette County. It's a real challenge, and a lot of people have reminded me of that before when I just mentioned that I was interested in running. The 110th District is a huge challenge, not only geographically but politically as well. and I realize that I am running against an incumbent, but that's the democratic process, and I really feel that that's what keeps it alive.
If people want to follow your campaign, how do they do that?
Well, I have a Facebook page, Elect Gregory Markkinen. You can make comments on there, and we're in the process of getting a website set up. And look for me in the paper and the radio. Listen to me.
Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thank you very much.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.